Welcome to my podcast, New Dog, Now What? A podcast made especially for new dog owners. I'm Valerie Jane, and like thousands of others, I have recently welcomed a new dog into my world. I grew up with dogs, I love dogs, but this is the first time owning a dog myself, and there is so much to learn. Every episode, I get to welcome extraordinary, insightful experts to share information as we learn how to give our dogs the best possible lives. On today's episode, we welcome Andre Yu of When Hounds Fly Dog Training. Andre founded When Hounds Fly in 2010, starting as the only trainer in a single location, and oversaw its growth to four Toronto locations today. Currently, you'll find him at their Queenless location, where he teaches puppy socialization and foundation skills. Andre is only one of two Canadians to be part of the prestigious Karen Pryor Academy faculty, and now teaches their flagship dog trainer professional program. This Vancouver native is often sought out by the media for his dog training expertise and has appeared on television programs such as eTalk Daily, Global TV News, and was the official dog trainer for CBC's hit reality series Over the Rainbow.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm very excited to talk about puppy socialization, obviously something that is so incredibly important for our new puppies. So thank you.
My pleasure.
So let's dive in and stating the obvious, but tell us what puppy socialization is.
Puppy socialization is, it's a process, and it's something that occurs at a very specific point in time of a young puppy's life. Most animal professionals would suggest that it occurs roughly from the time their eyes and ears open till about 12 to 16 weeks. And what is occurring during this process is the puppy is learning about what is normal and safe within the world. So, for example, if you let's use street dogs in like a Caribbean country as an example, very common that people adopt dogs from places like the Bahamas and stuff like that. So a litter of puppies is born on the street, and in that environment where the puppy is growing from birth to week 16, you know, what's in that puppy's life? Well, probably the kids that live in the neighborhood, and let's assume that those kids treat the puppies nicely or ignore them. And then maybe there's the families that live nearby and their bikes and their trucks, and they look a certain way. And that becomes the whole world in which the puppy understands is normal and safe. And then months later, at month 5 or 6, suddenly a strange shiny vehicle arrives and people come out wearing different uniforms and they're wearing hats and they look different. And they have long metal implements with nets at the end of them. Well, guess what? That's the dog catcher. So socialization is an evolutionary tool that teaches dogs what is safe and normal, because what's experienced in the first 4 months becomes safe. Everything else that is not experienced is weird and dangerous. And then that teaches the animals that I should be cautious and wary of these things. It's for self-preservation. Now, if we translate that into North American or Western life or first world life, then think about all the things that we might need to socialize our puppy to, such as visitors coming over, motorbikes, garbage trucks, people of different ethnicities, sizes, and shapes, varieties of dogs, other animals. There's so many things that we need as owners of pet dogs to have our puppies socialized too, so that we can live with them for the rest of their lives. So it's really that first sort of 3 to 4 months of the puppy's life where their brain is learning what is safe and normal. That's really how I define what puppy socialization is.
That's so good. And you offer some really good examples. You talk about people, different types of people. And I know there's sometimes a concept, you know, an idea. People think it's socializing with other dogs, but it's all those experiences. What are some key ones that, you know, you would say are absolute musts that puppy owners should have in their toolkit?
Mm-hmm. So I think that number one, beyond actually other dogs, is actually people. Because it's very difficult to own a dog that is fearful or even aggressive towards other humans, because that can get people into a lot of legal hot water. If you've got a dog that fearfully bites people, you'd like to eventually have people come over to your house for family gatherings or parties. So people, a variety of people, that's got to be number one. I think number two is other animals that they have to cohabitate with, especially if you live in the city. Because if you don't have a gigantic backyard and acres of fields to exercise your dog, you're going to be relying on the dog park in the city. So we need a dog that feels comfortable to operate in environments with multiple dogs. And then I think the last thing that is important is the environmental components, especially if you live in the city. But even if you live in the suburbs, there are going to be loud things like buses, trucks, streetcars, subways. The noises, sights, sounds, and surfaces of the city that the dog needs to live in should be part of that socialization plan. I think if you hit all three, which is a lot of stuff, actually, you're going to do really well.
Yeah, and it's funny because I got my puppy in the winter, and you know, I had kind of my checklist of all the experiences that she should have. And it's funny because I can see now some of those things that are specific to summer that he hasn't experienced. So motorcycles, rollerblades, he loves to bark at anybody that goes by on rollerblades. So absolutely. And I think it's, you know, one thing that's been a challenge for many of us is that, you know, we've been in lockdown for so long and isolated for so long, and so many new puppies have come around during that time. So when you talk about people, I understand like many of us haven't gone into other people's homes. So it's just even outdoor greetings and trying to do all of those things, right?
Yeah. I wonder how puppies that have been raised in the last year are going to do when people start coming over to people's houses. Because that's the one thing that, like, legally we haven't been able to do. And even just from a safety perspective, like, how do you fake that? In the early days of the pandemic, the advice we gave, which is, I still think good advice, was to actually just come home as a random person, like wear a disguise or a costume so that your puppy gets used to strange people entering the home. Even though it was just you wearing a motorcycle helmet with a visor, for example.
That's a great idea, actually, because it is true. You know, I haven't gone into anybody's home in over a year, and same here. And so it'll be really interesting for sure for them to have that. Definitely pop by on the street and said hello, but you're right. It's like coming into the homes. It's so different. So that's an interesting one. And then on the opposite side, we have what many people are talking about. And there's a big fear with right now is puppy, the opposite, which is isolation. And can you just talk about that? Because it seems like it's very, very real. And I'm seeing it in some of the puppies that I see walking down the street. But share a little bit more of what that looks like.
Yeah. I mean, with work from home, what we have is an entire generation of puppies that have never been left alone for blocks of 4 to 8 hours. Whereas pre-pandemic, that was the norm. You would get a puppy on Sunday, or you get a puppy on Friday, maybe, or Thursday, take a day off work, spend Saturday and Sunday to help the dog sort of de-stress, and then bye, you got to go back to work on Monday. So that was part of the socialization experience for puppies for basically forever. And now we have the complete opposite, which is my puppy's never been home alone without me for more than the 30-minute trip to the supermarket. And I think that a lot of owners have been very diligent about making excuses to leave in anticipation of the return to like normalcy. And I think that for many of those people, they'll be okay. But if people have not thought about that, and now they're faced with, oh, our office is moving to a hybrid model of 3 days in, 2 days at home, that first Monday is going to be a rude awakening for them if they've never tested for that. And this is just like the situation where we're going to deal with puppies that can't handle visitors to the house, or puppies that are unable to handle being left home alone. Now, if we've got a 6 month or a year old dog that has to cope with this, now we're outside of the socialization process. And now we're into what I would call or categorize as behavior modification, not to give it the label of a negative label, but it is kind of remedial, meaning now we got to go backwards and like unpack some of this stuff for these dogs.
Well, and that's one thing I wanted to ask you. If you've missed that key period, you know, can you still teach those things? And it sounds like you can. It's just a different method of teaching.
Yeah, you absolutely can. I mean, this is why many of us, including myself, like we love rescuing adult dogs. Like I've, full disclosure, I don't hide this, but I've actually never owned a puppy from 8 weeks old. So my pure experience is actually bringing home dogs that are 2-3 years or older. And then I inherit what I get, which is whatever the socialization history of that dog to that point in their life is what I have in front of me. And whether it's fear of other dogs or really severe separation anxiety, of course there's work that can be done. And I wouldn't describe it necessarily as completely different. It's not 180 degrees different than how you would help a puppy do it. It's really about the amount of time and effort it takes. I mean, really here, an ounce of prevention is really worth a metric ton of cure. So if I have a dog that is now 3-4 years old and has poor socialization towards people and history of maybe bad experiences with people, it's going to take me a lot longer to help that dog grow confident than it would, say, an 8-week-old puppy that was shy. We could probably make major impacts in a much shorter amount of time. And if you think about it, a lot of it has to do with neuroplasticity, right? At the younger age, their brains aren't even fully formed. So the experiences that we put in those first couple of weeks can really change the structure of the brain pretty profoundly. But if you're dealing with a dog that has 5 years of being afraid of strangers, well, that's 5 years of the neurons wiring and firing together, or firing and wiring together. So it's going to take a lot more time to cut your way through that, like that neural jungle, if you will.
Yeah. No, that's true. It is true. But it's good to know that, yeah, definitely there you can do it. But I know that was something that was ingrained in me, is like that puppy socialization. Make sure you get those in. I literally had my giant checklist. And I was also fortunate to take puppy socialization classes. So can you share a little bit? I know you offer them at When Hounds Fly at all your locations. But can you share what people can expect through a puppy socialization class?
For sure. I'll suggest that not all puppy socialization classes are created equal. I'm sure you have a very global audience. So I'll give you some suggestions for what we think is like the ideal curriculum. And that's what you should look for. So at least for us, it should be equal parts of the following. There should be basic, very basic skills training. But that shouldn't be the focus. So if you're signing up for a puppy class where it's like a laundry list of behaviors and we're trying to nail the perfect stay and the perfect heel, that's not really what a puppy socialization class should be about. It really should leave the dog feeling comfortable about a variety of things. So comfortable around the presence of other puppies and dogs, comfortable around the presence of the people that are in that room as well, and introducing a variety of experiences, surface sounds, and physical experiences that are important to get the puppy comfortable with. So a well-run puppy socialization class, you should see things like, well, today's theme is going to be about getting our dog comfortable with the vet and groomer, because strange people touching you and holding you and poking and prodding you is something that you need to socialize a puppy to at a young age. Other themes should be, let's get our dogs comfortable with strange wheeled objects. Like, let's bring out the vacuum cleaner. And here's a little kick scooter we have in the classroom as part of the curriculum. And then lastly, the other component of a good puppy socialization class, of course, is owner education. Like you said, Valerie, you had your long checklist and you went through it as diligently as you could. So awareness of that checklist is important. But what's even more important is the quality that you put into those experiences. So a good puppy socialization class should really train the owners as to, how do I set up a good socialization experience? Is it sufficiently challenging, or is this actually traumatizing my dog? That's a skill that we try to impart to our owners so that they can go out and do the rest of the work themselves.
So when it comes to puppy socialization classes, is there a certain age that you recommend that they enroll at, and are there any restrictions?
So younger is better. So what is known now is that getting them in as young as possible helps improve the outcomes in terms of the dog's confidence around all these stimuli, people, dogs, and environmental components. There is always a concern about vaccinations and disease and illness. So a well-run puppy socialization class should have a very thorough vetting process to make sure that before dogs are on premise, vaccination paperwork from their veterinarian is supplied and general health clearance. Because the classes are limited to dogs of a certain age, meaning you really shouldn't have like a 5-month-old or 6-month-old puppy, quote unquote, in a puppy socialization class. They're really too old. So we're looking for puppies that are between 8 and maybe 16 weeks old, 20 on the highest end, have received at least their first vaccination and checked from their primary veterinarian. And those are really the major restrictions. And I do want to comment that there is still this pervasive misunderstanding, so it needs to be called out. Don't wait till your dog has received their last booster at 16 weeks before you take your dog outside. That is the most harmful piece of information that's still very pervasive from ownership, breeders, and I'll say it, some veterinarians still give that advice. And I think that people really miss out on this really crucial time in their dog's life if they heed that advice.
Yeah, that's amazing advice, because you can see it. You see which ones haven't had those experiences, and they don't have to be, like you said, you have to set up the experiences properly. So I agree with you on that one, because you're seeing that for sure. When it comes to, you know, puppy socialization, we're in Toronto, so we have access, you know, many people here have access to classes, but if somebody's living somewhere else and they don't have necessarily access to puppy socialization classes, whether they're not available in their area or they're not in a position to enroll in a class, are there options that are available to them or things you would recommend?
I think that the one blessing of the pandemic is the fact that dog trainers around the world of super high quality have all adopted virtual learning. So these days, no matter where you are, you can hire like the world's best dog trainers to coach you through web conferencing and Zoom. And if you're going to take that track, which I think if I was in a place where no options are available, I 100% would recommend that, then the emphasis should be this trainer's job is to coach you to be a puppy socializer so that you can build that perfect for your environment, for your location, puppy socialization plan, and implement it and get feedback and coaching. So for example, you're not going to be able to find a facility that has five puppies that is monitored where everyone's playing if you live in a very remote environment. So that's understandable. But could you reach out to your network or your community and find other people that have appropriate playmates and then organize your own puppy playdates in a backyard or secured environment with the knowledge of that the coach, that the dog training coach has given you. I think that's how I would solve that problem. And then the rest is really about road trips with your dog. Let's throw the dog in the car. Let's drive into town and hang out at the strip mall or take our dogs to places like Home Depot that may still be pet friendly. And really do a lot of DIY socialization with the guidance of a good coach.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I mean, I love what you do. I think what you offer is an incredible service. And, you know, it's an investment of time and money, but it lays the foundation for your puppy's life and for your relationship. So I really appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit more about puppy socialization so people really know what it's about, and hopefully we'll get some people to enroll if they haven't already. So thank you.
My pleasure, Valerie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of New Dog, Now What? If you know someone with a new dog in their life, please be sure to share this episode with them and follow along on Instagram @newdoglifeca. Thanks for joining.